Well, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, as we read together, verses 25 to 30. Matthew 11, the very end of the chapter, reading verses 25 to 30. Again, God's word. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God's word. Well, I suspect that at the minute, most of us, if not all of us, are feeling a little bit weary. Living the last 8 months through a global health crisis has taken its toll on us, hasn't it? In all sorts of ways, physically, emotionally, mentally, socially, financially, and indeed spiritually. And as various levels of lockdown continue, many of us were feeling bereft of energy. We're feeling tired, just generally exhausted, lethargic, increasingly run down, perhaps. And let's spare a thought, shall we not, for those on the front line, our key workers, especially in healthcare and education, as they continue to work under immense pressure and strain, not to mention our politicians, for whom these past days, weeks, months, they have been relentless, relentless. So I think all of us are feeling a bit weary, burdened, exhausted, knackered, you might say. It's surely then one of the greatest delights of our hearts to be coming to these verses before us this morning. Because here in Matthew 11, Jesus speaks to us about rest. And it's not just physical rest, it's not just mental rest. He's talking about a more important rest, a deeper rest, a fuller rest, rest for your soul. It was Augustine who once prayed, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our souls are restless until they find their rest in you." Our souls are restless until they find their rest in you. And I've good news this morning. Into your weariness, into your restlessness, Jesus speaks words of rest. Some of the most famous words in the Bible: "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, last week, we considered the paragraph immediately before this one. And Jesus spoke words there of condemnation, words of judgment upon those who don't come to him in repentance. They're some of the strongest words in the Bible just before this, some of the most severe words in the Bible. But he follows that up here now this morning with some of the sweetest words in the Bible. He issues a tremendous invitation. And if your soul is restless this morning, if you're weary, burdened by life's heavy load, I bid you to come. This passage is for you. But how do you do it? How do you find this rest? How exactly do we respond to this invitation? Well, let's consider three things together. Firstly, we must come like little children. We must come like little children. Now, I know the familiar verses are verses 28 to 30, but we need to begin this morning a little bit further back. We're thinking here in this point, verses 25 and 26. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Now, the setting is still the same as that of the rest of the chapter. There's crowds of people surrounding Jesus here. And as he does on other occasions, he prays. He prays publicly, audibly, and he prays briefly. It's worth noting that this is a very brief prayer. It's a reminder our prayers don't need to be unnecessarily long and drawn out. Yes, there's times when Jesus spent entire evenings in prayer, but not always. This prayer, it's about 20 seconds long. And it's deeply instructive, wonderfully helpful, and a little bit surprising. Jesus begins, "I thank you, Father." I thank you, Father. What's he thanking his Father for? How is he so full of thankfulness here? Remember, he's just literally spoken words of judgment upon entire villages and cities for their lack of repentance. And it's straight after that we hear him saying, "Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." It's tremendously helpful for us here. Jesus is reminding himself and his hearers, he's coming before his Father. He's coming before one who is Lord of heaven and earth. One who is sovereign over all things. One who is in control of the hearts of men, women, and young people. And it's as if Jesus comforts himself with this. "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." He recognizes the sovereignty of God over all things, and he dwells on it in a spirit of worship, a spirit of contentment. "You've hidden these things," he says, "from the wise and understanding." God doesn't reveal the truth concerning Christ to everyone. For some people, these things are hidden. And when Jesus talks about them being hidden from the wise and understanding, he's not talking about levels of intelligence here. He's not talking about GCSE, A-level qualifications. He's talking rather about people who rely on their own wisdom, people who rely on their understanding, people who think they know it all. And Jesus says, well, actually, in the eyes of God, they know nothing. These things are hidden from them. On the other hand, there are those the Lord reveals things to, and they're like little children. Other translations speak of babes or infants, really little children. And again, he's not speaking literally here. He's not speaking in terms of age. Rather, it's in terms of character. It's all to do with how a person views themselves in their own minds. Just think of a newborn baby, just days, weeks old. What can that baby do for themselves? What can they do if they're left, if there's nobody to feed them or clothe them or keep them warm? They're not able to do anything. They're completely dependent upon others. Totally, totally dependent. and in a warm, loving home, they trust their parents without reservation. And that's what Jesus is speaking of here, our need for that same kind of humility and trust, to be like little children. So do you see, God has hidden these things from those who think they know it all, and he reveals them to those who come in humble, quiet, total dependence, trusting God for everything. So how do you find rest for your soul? Well, first, you need to come like a little child. Like a little child, conscious of your utter dependency upon him for everything. Confessing your weakness, your lack of resources. Recognizing your utter helplessness. Lord, I have nothing. I have nothing. It's coming to the point where you abandon all your own resources. No place for pride. No place for puffed up ego or bravado. We must come like little children. We must come like little children. But then secondly, we must come to Jesus, the Son of God. We must come to Jesus, the Son of God. This is verses 27 and 28. Jesus says, verse 27, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Now, these verses can sound at first a bit more complicated than they really need to be. Jesus is really declaring here, the Father has handed over to him, the Son, all things. In other words, Jesus is basically saying, God has given me charge over the whole universe. All authority has been given to me, he says. He then explains there's a relationship between the Father and the Son that is unlike any other earthly relationship. The Father knows the Son perfectly. The Son knows the Father perfectly. And it's an extremely close and intimate bond, unique, unlike any other relationship. But it's not exclusive. It's not VIP access only. Because this relationship, this knowledge, Jesus says, it's available. It's available to all those to whom Jesus chooses to reveal the Father. Are you seeing that? Are you getting that? No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That is to say, you want to know God, you want to know the Father. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Hence the words of verse 28, the words we know and love so well. Come to me, he says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you laden this morning with weariness and concerns? Are you in need of rest? Come to me, Jesus says. Why him? Because he's God's Son. He's God's Son. He's the one who can provide the rest we so desperately need. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the one mediator between God and man. He has what you need. So if you want rest this morning, you must come to Christ, the Son of God. We've all sorts of burdens, don't we? All sorts. We're burdened by trial and temptation. We're burdened by the weakness of body and mind. We're burdened by the circumstances that are outside of our control. We're burdened by care and sorrow. We're burdened by disappointment and frustration. And worse than all of that, we're burdened by our own sin. And Jesus knows it all. He knows it all. He knows exactly what our burdens are. He knows exactly the crushing weight you carry. He wonderfully invites you to come to him and cast all your care upon him. Come to me, he says. Trust in me. Place your faith in me. You see, we don't place our faith in a church or in a writer from church history. We don't place our faith in a set of rules and ceremonies. We don't place our faith in a therapist or a counselor. We certainly don't place our faith in a politician or a vaccine for that matter. We come to Jesus. Come to me, he says. Come to me. But we need to come humbly and empty, like little children, and we come to none other than Jesus, the Son of God. We come to Jesus, the Son of God. Let's think thirdly then, we must come and take his yoke upon us. We must come and take his yoke upon us. Verses 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he says. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. Now, boys and girls here this morning and any listening online, when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, this is not the yoke from an egg. This is not the little yellow bit right in the middle. A yoke was something that farmers used a lot in Jesus' day. They still do in other parts of the world. A piece of wood that went across the shoulders of the oxen as they pulled the plough. And if you think of Jesus growing up in his carpenter's shop, he would have known the yoke. He would have been familiar with a yoke. No doubt the farmer would have come in and the oxen, and they would have been measured, tailor-made. It was important the yoke fit the two animals specifically and perfectly. It was made to hold two animals together. It was made to make sure the oxen kept in step together. It's this illustration Paul uses actually in 2 Corinthians 6:14 when he says we must not be unequally yoked. And part of that means when we're thinking of boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands or wives, we're to look for someone who's going the same direction as us spiritually. Someone with the same Lord, someone with the same faith, someone who's got the same goal and end in mind, someone we can keep in step with spiritually. And so that is to say, for a Christian to date or to marry an unbeliever is not only unwise, but it's wrong. It's wrong. And the notion that they might somehow come to faith down the track, that isn't found anywhere in the Bible. I mean, if God had intended dating as a method of evangelism, he would have told us. He would have told us. There's this idea then of being yoked together. But what does Jesus mean when he talks about taking on his yoke? Because you might be thinking, I have all this weight on my own shoulder. I want Jesus just to take it. I don't want another yoke. What's going on here? Is this a contradiction? Well, the rest he gives isn't an idle rest. It isn't a couch potato kind of rest. What's happening here is what you might call a yoke exchange. A yoke exchange. And Jesus is inviting us to set aside the heavy burden of our sin and misery, because by nature we're already shackled to something that's taking us a direction that we shouldn't be going. Jesus says, set that down. Set that yoke down. Take my yoke. Take my yoke. A yoke that's easy. A burden that's light. The 17th century covenanter Hugh Binning explains it this way: Christianity consists in a blessed exchange of yokes. That's good. A blessed exchange of yokes between Christ and a pious soul. He takes our uneasy yoke and he gives us his easy yoke. So there is a sense in which we come under a yoke when we come to Jesus. But it's a blessed yoke. It's a yoke that brings us into relationship with him, into partnership with him. And it's not harsh, it's not oppressive, it's a yoke that's easy. It's a burden that's light. Listen to those words, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Take that in. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Nowhere else in the Bible do we have such a description of the heart of Christ. He's gentle and he's lowly. He's meek and he's humble. An interesting aspect of the farmer's yoke was that they would often take an inexperienced ox and place it alongside an older ox. And they would be yoked together as they pulled the plow, and the older would set the pace for the younger, keeping him on track, showing him the ropes, showing him what to do, how to do the work properly. The older ox would do all the heavy lifting until the younger figured things out. And there is a sense of that's what's going on here. It's a lovely description of the yoke of Christianity, Jesus calling us to come alongside him. He sets the pace. He keeps us on track. He does all the heavy lifting. And he doesn't want to crush us. He doesn't want to oppress us. He's not there to pile burdens on us we can't bear, because he is gentle and he's lowly. He's meek and he's tender. He calls us to keep in step with him, to go forwards with him. He calls us to this life of service and partnership with him. And it's easy, he says. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Doesn't mean Christianity is a breeze. Often it's far from it. But it's like a tailor-made yoke that's been fashioned for you by the most perfect carpenter in the world. And you find that it fits you perfectly. It fits you perfectly. And the Savior of your soul is there alongside you. He's there to help, and he's there to forgive, and he's there to pick you up, and he's there to strengthen, and he's there, friends, to give rest. To give rest for your weary soul. Now, I could relate countless stories of men, women, young people who have found and experienced this rest for themselves. But I want to just share one. In 1649, after the death of King Charles I, his daughter, Princess Elizabeth, was captured. She was imprisoned on the Isle of Wight. She was 14, fluent in 5 languages, and a committed Christian. She was kept in solitary confinement. She grieved her father's death terribly. Her heart was broken, and her body eventually wasted away until she died alone of pneumonia. She was found by the prison guard dead, with her head resting on a Bible her father had given her. The Bible was open to these very words of Jesus: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." She literally found this text to be a pillow for her weary soul. She was 14. Following her death, her grave went largely unmarked for about 200 years until Queen Victoria commissioned a suitable monument to be erected in her memory. And so today, at St. Thomas Church on the Isle of Wight, you can find a spectacular white marble memorial depicting this princess, Princess Elizabeth, as a beautiful young woman lying, and her cheek is resting on an open Bible. And upon this open Bible, you can find the words engraved from Matthew 11, verse 28. And above the sculpture, there are metal bars, but they're broken, indicating that though she was a prisoner, she had escaped and she had entered into a greater rest, a better rest. Have you found this rest of which we speak? Do you have this pillow for your weary soul? Have you come to Christ? If so, keep coming to him every day and draw from his endless supply of grace and mercy and rest, because he is gentle and he is lowly in heart, and his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And be assured, in just a little while, he will come and take us home to a place of glorious and eternal rest. For we're told in Revelation 14, verse 13, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Blessed indeed," says the Spirit, "that they may rest, that they may rest from their labors." Amen.